Thank everybody that's made food, brought food, bought food, and helping out with a picnic today. And it's a good time to get together and spend time together. And so praise God for that. John chapter 8 and verse 32. This is part 3 of our series, The Dangers of Not Knowing. And we're learning that you need to know some things. Praise God. And so in John 8 verse 32 is where we're going to start. But Father, help us today. Lord, we need words from heaven. We need utterance from heaven. We need boldness from heaven. And Father, it is picnic day, and we're doing things a little different, but this right now is the highlight of our week. This is the meat of our week. This is our help. This is our answer. This is how we can walk into that abundant life that Jesus talked about by not bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. So, Father, we receive it this morning. We welcome it. Correct us. Encourage us, help us, give us revelation, whatever we need. And Father, I thank you that these truths presented, they are life-changing, and they're so pertinent to our lives and getting into all that you have for us. So give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I thank you. We'll hit bullseyes this morning, and we'll hit the mark. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this message to finish up here with what we're talking about, I mentioned this last night, it's really not groundbreaking, earth-shattering revelation. Wow, I've never heard that before. But it's things that we need, praise God. It's things that we've not yet mastered and things that we need to go in going forth. And if I was thinking about, you know, messages, if you think of a top 10 messages, this would have to be in the top 10 messages of what we need to do as Christians on our part to actually experience what the Bible says we can have. And so don't take this lightly, amen? Amen? John chapter 8, verse 32, the Bible says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, Jesus wants us to live in freedom, not bondage. And he said the way to do that is how? By knowing the truth. Now, I'm not talking about, tests and seasons of tests. How many of you know we're going to have seasons of tests the rest of our lives? There's going to be constant opposition from the enemy. But there ought to also be constant walking out of victory as a Christian. I mean, that's just, if the Bible says he always causes us to triumph, well, then things that come our way, they come our way, and that's not an indicator that we're doing something wrong or that we're failing. That's just an indicator we're doing things right a lot of times, but we ought to have victory. I'm talking about, the bondages that people experience over and over again. Wrong thinking, sickness, disease, poverty, depression, fear, anxiety, where it's like, it's not a season of it. It's more of a lifestyle. And how do you know that's bondage? Poverty's bondage. Sickness is bondage. And fear and depression, all that stuff is bondage. Worry is bondage. And Jesus said freedom is yours, but he said there's a way to freedom. And he said that you have to know the truth. And he said the result of that would be that you'd be made free. And so we can look and really diagnose why things might be the way they are in a constant state of something. Because our Savior's not a liar. And he said that the result of the knowing of the truth, the result will be freedom. Right? And so if we could say, well, I'm not living in freedom. It is a constant struggle in certain areas of my mind and thoughts and my body and in my finances with my children, with different things. Well, then by self-diagnosing this verse, the answer is we just don't know enough. And we left off last week looking at what knowing is because we saw that knowing isn't to know about something. He's not saying if you know about the word, you'll be made free. There's a lot of people that know about healing and they don't walk in it. There's a lot of people that know about the God of abundance, but they don't ever experience it themselves. Well, what's the disconnect? Because he said if we know it, and people say, well, I can quote Philippians 4:19, but I'm not seeing Philippians 4:19. I can quote healing scriptures, but I'm not seeing healing scriptures. Well, last week should help us to see that there's a deeper connection than just knowing about, right? And if we remember, and for time's sake we won't go there, but remember this word here in the Greek, the word know is the word genosko. And that word is the same Greek word that Mary used in Luke chapter 1 when the angel told her, you're gonna be pregnant with the baby Jesus. And, she's the Virgin Mary for a reason. She's a virgin. And she said, how can this be seeing I know not a man? Well, we all know that kids don't come out and pop out because you know somebody. That's right. in the sense of knowing about somebody, you know? No, that word is a deeper meaning. It's the coming together. It's again, saving all your precious talks for your home life. We'll keep this on the surface. But we know what the knowing is, coming together of a husband and wife. And she said, how can that be possible? How is this possible? I don't know a man. And so what he's talking about there is the coming together. But in the coming together in God's eyes of knowing, God doesn't see two different things. God sees one. This, therefore, is the reason a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one. That's what God says in his eyes. He sees the unity of when the husband and wife come together as one. And so what he's talking about, he said, when you know the word that way, well, what is he talking about? He's not trying to be weird or over our heads here. He's talking about becoming so acquainted with the word that we join with the word and become one with the word. That we're not ourselves, and the word's not, it's not just the husband, and it's not just the wife. No, God sees them coming together as one. Well, it's the same with the word. The knowing to get free has to take place where we actually become one with the word. We're not separate from it, and it is not separate from us. Well, what does that mean? When you become one with the word, you become what the word says you are. You become what the word says about you. And so many times, unfortunately, this is where people never get into. They know about healing, but they've never become healing. They know about prosperity, but they've never become prosperity. Hallelujah. What do I mean by that? Well, if you think about how God does things, remember how God does things in Romans 4:17, talking about Abraham. And this is a story that Paul wrote or referenced from way back in Genesis. And remember in Genesis, God changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, meaning the father of many nations. He said, you are, not you will be. He said, you are the father of many nations. When God, see, and you have to understand a little bit about Hebrew culture in those times, that meanings for names were very, very significant. And so when God changed his name to Abraham before there was a baby on the scene, that wasn't to denote someday you will. No, God was saying, you are Abraham right now. You are father of many nations. And so God was saying, his word was what? Abraham to have a baby with Sarah as a 100-year-old man. She was 90. He's saying, that's the word, to become one with that word. That's who you are right now. And it wasn't until Abraham adopted or believed or stepped into that knowing that it came to pass. Now, see, you might think, well, that was just automatically going to happen. It didn't happen until Abraham got on board with God. When it started out, him and his wife had a laugh fest. They laughed and said, ha, 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 real funny, God. And then it got to a place where the pressure and the weight of it and can't believe past what they can see, what they can feel, what the doctors would say. And they went out and found a younger woman who could have a baby named Hagar, and they had the baby Ishmael, did it their own way. Well, so Abraham wasn't Mr. Faith Pants the whole time, which, thank God, gives me hope. Because we exalt Abraham, and we should. He's the father of our faith. But he had his moments too, and it took him getting into what? Where the Bible says in Romans 4, where it says, and being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body. So that's no longer in the equation. Being now dead, yet 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had said he is able also to perform. He got to a place where he became Abraham. Not just in name only, but he believed, I am the father of many nations. Well, isn't that the same thing Mary did? Mary was told something that didn't make sense, was impossible, and she said, that's what you say is going to happen. She said, be it unto me according to your word. What was she saying? She was saying, I agree and I believe that I am a virgin that is pregnant. Yeah. Right? That was what the word was. She became one with it and said, yep, that's what it is. Hallelujah. And that's the place that we need to get to. And that's the place we have to honestly ask ourselves, when you're struggling financially and you're struggling in your body, what's coming out of your mouth? What are the thoughts you're having? What are you sitting there meditating on at night? What are you putting through your mind all day long and constantly rehashing and going over and over? Is it how sick you are? Talk about how sick you are, depressed and discouraged? Or have you actually stepped over into that place where you believe, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the favor of the Lord. What, I am the joy of the Lord. Have you got over that? And a lot of people don't get to that place. They define themselves and recognize themselves based on what their circumstances say, based on what their feelings say, based on what they can see, right? Isn't that what people do? We got symptoms in our body, so what does that mean? We just instantly say, I'm sick. Come on. We can't pay our bills. I don't have enough money. I'm broke. Well, naturally, Abraham could say, I'm 100. I'm not the father of many nations. God, you're lying to me. You're telling me something that's not true. First of all, you got to get past your thinking and come up on God's level of thinking. It was not a lie for God. Remember, God's ways trump man's ways. No matter how ingrained or how comfortable or how familiar we are with man's ways, God's ways trump man's ways. And the way God says he does it is he says, my word, now get this, my word, regardless of how contrary it is to what you're feeling, seeing, or hearing, my word trumps that. You know why his word trumps that? Because what you're seeing, feeling, and hearing is in the natural realm. But God's word is in the spiritual realm, and he's saying, my realm built that realm, so I don't care what that realm is saying. I don't care what that realm is reporting. What is my realm reporting? Remember the children of Israel? They God said, I'm giving you this land. I'm giving you this land. He said, it's yours. They go in, they get overwhelmed by the circumstances, the situations, and they start doubting and unbelieving, and they didn't become one with that word, did they? No, they became one with the wall, with the circumstances, with the cities, the people, and it caused them to get into doubt and unbelief. And what did the Bible say when they reported back to Moses what they had seen in the land? When they reported back to Moses, what did the Bible say? Didn't say they lied about the situation. Didn't say that there was no wall. Didn't say that there was no cities and no armies and things. No, God said, yeah, that's true. But remember, God called it an evil report.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Why was it evil? Not because it was not truly what they were seeing, feeling, experiencing, but what they were seeing, feeling, experiencing, they usurped over God's thing was, this is yours regardless of what you're seeing, feeling, experiencing. So when God calls Abraham father of many nations, that's our cue to what? He says we're the healed of the Lord. Well, I guess no matter what our circumstances are, I am the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I talk and walk and think, and my mind goes to places and imaginations of healing in my life. Not living with this forever, taking this mess forever. What if it never gets better? No. The people that do that have not known enough yet. You have not yet become one with that word. The Bible says you're rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 says he was made poor so that you, through his poverty, could become rich. Right? The Bible says you're rich. But most people say, I'm not rich. Look at my money. I'm not rich. Look at my bills. I'm not rich. Look at my paycheck. It has nothing to do with it. Those are all natural things that you're letting dictate your life. The word ought to be the only thing that's the dictator of your beliefs. And you have to get to that place where you can step over when sickness and disease and symptoms and poverty and lack and all this stuff's chaotically breaking loose around you. You know, how many times does it look like we're not going to win? We're not going to make it. It looks like that at times. But see, the person who has their mind renewed to the Bible knows, no, I am victorious.
Amen.
You know why so many people got so discouraged over canceling church? For 2 weeks, and I heard different things, you know, just out there in the grapevine and things of, you know, how could this happen to us? We just had the miracle crusades and you know, the devil's winning. No, ladies and gentlemen, you haven't renewed your mind to the word. We already are the winners. We stand in a place of victory. So what, he gets a few jabs and doesn't mean he wins. We're victorious. Hallelujah. If we can learn some things from it, fine. If we can grow in some things, fine. But he isn't one. He's not some high and mighty. He's defeated. But a lot of people don't live with that mentality, right? How, because why? What words come out of their mouth? How am I going to do this? What do you mean, how are you going to do it? You're victorious. You're going to do it. How am I going to get past this? What if this, I'm going to fail. This, everything's going. Come on. Hallelujah. When you walk in your place of victory, when you walk in your place of authority, you don't wonder how it's going to turn out. The only reason you do that is because your mind is not renewed to who you are right now. Isn't this where this whole series came from? Was when Pastor Nancy was talking about dominion and the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And I was so grieved of how many few people actually know what she's talking about and then don't know further what God has offered them. And most people are not ruling and reigning from a place of authority and victory. They're ruling and reigning from a place, or trying to rule and reign from a place of their own abilities, their own failures, their own thoughts. That's not how we're going to get set free. Amen. Praise God. That's not how we're going to get set free. I love the story. I don't know why it's on my heart to share this. It goes with it. But of the Jewish man, Pastor Nancy heard about a minister speaking with a Jewish man. And the minister asked the Jewish man, this Jewish man and his family and everyone he knew that was Jewish was super blessed. And I know at times that could be a stereotype in our society, but there are a lot of Jewish people that are very blessed. And that's a good thing, you know, being God's people. And this minister asked and said, I would like to know, how are you and your people so blessed all the time? And the Jewish man didn't know how to respond. He said, I don't understand that question, how we got to be so blessed. And then the minister kept asking, said, I just noticed, you know, you and your family and everybody associated with you, you're so blessed financially. I don't understand how that could be. And again, it was one of like 2-3 times, said, I don't understand your question. And then finally the Jewish man said, oh, I understand the problem now. He said, see, you're trying to separate me from my wealth, and as a Jewish person, you can't separate me from my wealth. It's part of the covenant. It is who I am. And see, the Bible says we're healed. The Bible says we're victorious. The Bible says we're prosperous. The Bible says we're all this. But a lot of people wouldn't identify themselves as rich or prosperous or healed or victorious or full of peace. Why? They would say, because of this situation, I am broke, I am depressed, I am fearful, I am worried, I am this and that. That's not a coming together with the Word. That's the Word's over here and I'm over here. But when you become one with the Word, you become what the Word says you are. Just like that Jewish person, you can't separate me from this. This is who I am. Amen. I love that. Praise God. Go with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. I want to show you how to get there. Romans 12 and verse 2. Who in the world actually thinks we're going to be done by 10? I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. I promised it, I said it, and I'm thinking, wow. I even cut a whole verse out of I Exalt Thee that we practiced. I was like, I don't know if this is going to happen. I need to give myself all the wiggle room possible. Praise God. Romans 12 and verse 2, how do we get there? Because I'm also not up here with pie in the sky saying this is simple. To walk around when symptoms are ravaging your body and think healing. Or when, you know, financial problems are pressing against you and to walk around rejoicing in prosperity. I understand there's a great pressure of the world, and I understand there's a great pressure of circumstances and situations that are pushing against that happening to you to be able to do that. So I'm not trying to say this is just some pie in the sky we stroll. No, I'm here to tell you it's going to take some work on your part. But is freedom worth it? I'll tell you what, I like being free from poverty. I like being free from poverty. Even when I have tests and trials of poverty, I like being free of it, knowing this is not going to hold me captive. I like being free from sickness and disease and depression and fear and worry. Well, Romans 12 and verse 2 says this, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. What's that mean? Changed. But be transformed or changed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Notice he first says, don't be conformed to the world. You know what that's telling you? Don't act and be like the world. Now, we think ultimately we jump to things like, we shouldn't sin like the world. We shouldn't talk like the world. We shouldn't watch what the world watches. All that stuff. And there's truth to that. We ought not to be act like heathens as Christians. I mean, I don't know if you know that or not. There's still a thing called holiness and doing things God's way and following the Holy Ghost. That's I know there's a lot of things out of style in 2021. That's not one of them. Amen? But also not being conformed to the world would also be not acting the way the world acts in thought processes. Well, we've already talked about it a little bit. How does the world act? Well, when symptoms come, the world adopts the idea that they're sick, right? When poverty strikes or financial things, the world adopts the mentality, I'm in lack, I don't have enough. When it looks like you can't get past something, the world adopts the mentality of, I'm not strong enough, I can't do this, I'm a loser, I'm no good for this. That's what the world is. Well, the Bible's telling us, don't be conformed to the world. What's he saying? When things come your way that you need to be changed into something or morph into something, from poverty to prosperity, from sickness to health, from depression to joy, all the things that you need, from fear to being courageous and bold, whatever it is, he's saying the way you're going to transform, you're not going to be like the world and just take what the circumstances and situations tell you. Isn't that the children of Israel did? And they were disqualified. They just accepted what the world gave them, what they could see, feel, touch, and hear, all that stuff, and they missed out and were disqualified. He said, don't do it like the world does. He says, but be transformed into what God calls you that you are and what God says you can have. How? By the renewing of the mind. We talk about this all the time, but it's time we start doing it. By the renewing of this mind. Man, it sure is quiet in here. You're all thinking about those donuts, I know. I think I told Nettie, she said, what? I said, how many donuts do you usually get for Donut Sunday? She said, nine. I said, we're going 12 today. We're going 12 dozen. There's 12 dozen donuts over there. I know, it's hard to concentrate. The super duper donuts. But they'll be there when you get there, I promise. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he's saying transformation comes from the mind. This is no different than what Jesus said. Knowing the truth, becoming one with the truth, is what? Changing your thought process to what? I'm not sick, I am, I think like what the Word says I am. If the Word says I'm healed, I think healing. If the Word says I'm prosperous and abundantly supplied, then that's what I am. So we have to transform our mind. Until our mind starts thinking those thoughts in the midst of the hell, the transformation will never take place. Why? Because that's the knowing of the truth. That's that deep knowing, because we're saying become one with the Word. Well, he says transform your mind. What's that mean? Think like God thinks. What's that mean? If the Word says something, you become what the Word says you are, right? That's what it's telling you to do. This will help you. Remember that the Bible is like a mirror. Okay? The Bible's like a mirror. And don't argue with what the mirror says. You all remember that Mr. Loverboy Mike Anderson in middle school was dialing at the playground with the fifth grade girls or fourth grade girls or whatever it was, just thinking I was Mr. Comedian and Mr. Funny Pants. They were laughing at me. Oh, man, they had them just laughing, the pretty girls. I went home thinking, wow, me. I mean, I am something. I'm a regular Don Juan over here. Rico Suave. You know that was one of my nicknames in school because I used so much hairspray, they called me Rico Suave. That's true. The ladies liked it. I don't know. I just liked it when I was little. I put so much hairspray in because I had so many colics, I didn't know what to do with them. But anyways, I got home, and I went to the bathroom, went to wash my hands, and I looked and saw why they were laughing. There in the corner of my mouth was remnants of the Oreo cookies that I had had before I had went down to the playground. And so they weren't laughing at my jokes or my smoothness, you know. They were laughing at the fact that I had cookie all over my face and thought I was something special. But here I was looking at that mirror. And I wanted to argue with that mirror so bad. I wanted to be so wrong. But you can't argue with the mirror. What the mirror's telling you, unless it's one of those, you know, fun house, funny mirrors and things like that. It's one of the reasons I like staying in hotels, because they always have the skinny tall mirrors, and you look at, man, I grew. I look so lean and tall in this mirror, and I just all I don't want. And so then I just walk out of there and just try not to look at my reflection and anything that's going to tell me the truth. But unless it's one of those mirrors, the mirror tells you the truth. And the Bible is called like looking into a glass and beholding. When you look into a glass, if I were to, you know, turn my iPhone off here and just the glass screen, I can see my reflection on it. What that's showing me is exactly what's going on up here. Amen? Hallelujah. And that mirror was telling me. Well, that's the way we need to treat the Bible. If the Bible, the mirror, is saying you're healed, don't argue with it. You have to renew your mind to that. If the Bible, and I'm going to tell you how to do that in a second in closing, and if the Bible tells you you're healed, don't argue that. This is your truth. This is your truth. God's word to Abraham was his truth, not the wrinkles. Amen. God's word to the children of Israel was truth, not the wall that kept them out. God's not concerned with that. He's saying, if I can get you to renew your mind to this and believe this, you'll actually step over into what I'm saying. Well, how do we get there? You ready to find out? Let's finish this up here. Go with me to James chapter 1 and verse 21. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, nobody has permission to call me Pastor Suave today. Although if you do, I don't care. Who gives a rip? James chapter 1 and verse 21. Now remember, it's our mind. Your mind is keeping you from that transformation because you have not, because to become one with the Word, you need to think Word thoughts. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness, look at this, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save or rescue or deliver your souls. Well, this isn't written to people that need saving in their spirit to be born again, because James addressed this to brethren. He was talking to fellow Christians. So he's not talking about your spirit being saved. And we have to understand, and we've been taught this, that our spirit and soul are not the same thing. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body. Well, we wouldn't confuse the body for the spirit, just like we shouldn't confuse the spirit from the soul. And the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And really focus on the mind there. And he says that if we would receive the word, that the only way we can renew our mind or save, how many of you know when someone restores or renews an old car, they take it from a junky, old, thrown away, no good anymore position, and they rescue that thing. They rejuvenate that thing. They make that thing better, don't they? By renewing it, by restoring it. Well, that's what he's saying. Our minds need to be renewed or restored, because when we come into this Christianity thing, this has changed, this isn't. And Brother Hagin said this, the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. You don't wake up every day and your hair just falls into place. I mean, if you do, you're lucky. I don't. But colics are every which way, you know, hence the pshhh, all that hairsprays to use and things. You have to do something about it. Same thing you have to do with your mind. You have to constantly work that mind the right way. Well, what is it? How do we work the mind? Receive the word. Why? Because your mind needs saving. Your mind needs renewing. Your mind is what's keeping you from knowing the truth, the way you need to know the truth. Because your mind is thinking sickness thoughts and poverty thoughts and fear thoughts and worry thoughts. And God's saying, for you to know the truth, you got to have your mind renewed and think my thoughts. Abraham, stop thinking that you're a 100-year-old man who can't have a baby. Start thinking about what I'm saying to you. Amen. Mary, no longer think about what science and medical things say and what the word virgin means to you. Don't think about that. Think about what I'm saying to you, Mary. God's laws trump natural laws every day of the week. Praise God. So he says, receive the word. So the only thing that can save your mind and change and renew your mind is by receiving the word. Now go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Can I tell you the difference in my children real quick as we're turning? Because I'm just thinking about how great it's going to be to win both those contests today. And I was telling the kids, I was like, when I announced you today, I said, Yes, I said, let's put the fear of God in the congregation. We're going to come up, we're going to bring it in, and we're going to say, we're going to yell kill on three. And they were fired up and ready to go. And so then before service, you know, there was a lot going on and needed to get things going. And in the office, I said, we're not going to say the kill thing. Caleb didn't respond, and Abby was so upset. She wanted to let you know we're going for the kill today. Praise God. And so that's the difference in my children. Caleb's like, okay, I didn't want to kill anybody anyways. Abby's like, wait, we're not killing anyone today? What the heck? I thought we were killing, Dad. We're going for the kill. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Now remember, the word is what you need for your mind. But here's the thing. We have the word. We know about the word. We know it's deeper than that. Look what it says to do. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Talking about the word of God, that's in context. Here's what the word. He says, whereunto you would do well. Don't you want to do well in life? Well, being transformed into God's perfect will is doing well. Knowing the truth, being set free is doing well. He says, whereunto you would do well, that you take heed unto it, as the word, as a light that shineth in a dark place. Listen to what the Amplified says. We have a prophetic word made firmer still. You do well to pay close attention to it. As a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place. I mentioned yesterday, it was talking about something different before service. I was exhorting, but, you know, when I go walking through the woods in the dark to get to my tree stands, you know, it's pitch black, and there's brush and thorns and holes you could fall into and things that could hurt you and be dangerous. And so I've yet to master walking through the woods in the pitch black. You know, if I have the moonlight, I wouldn't have to turn on a light, but I wear a little lamp on my head, and I turn it either to the red setting or the green setting because it's not as bright. It doesn't, you know, show up in the woods and radiate as far. But when that light's on, that red light or that green light, and I'm walking, my focus isn't over here. I am paying attention to that light and what that light is lighting up. And that's what it's saying to you here in the Amplified. It says, you would do well to pay close attention to it as you would a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place. You would just focus on that light. Amen? Now, in the King James here, it says, take heed or pay attention to it as a light that shines in a dark place until. Now, this is where it's work for the Christian. Do you want freedom? Well, if you want freedom, you are going to have to make healing a reality before it shows up. What does that look like? Your pastor, a year into his sickness, rejoicing and thanking God that I'm the healed of the Lord and preaching my healing testimony. Your pastor, $2,000 short every single month, rejoicing that I'm rich, I'm fully funded, I'm fully supplied. That looks like you when you're not delivered and you need to get out of something. I thank you, I'm rescued, I'm delivered, I'm free, I'm prosperous, I'm healed, praise God. I have favor dripping off me, I'm victorious, this situation's turning, I'm going to the other side. That's what it looks like. And when you've crossed over into that place, it's not an act. It's not something I struggled a year into it. Well, I have to try this. No. I renewed my mind, and here's what it says. You pay attention to it until the day dawns. What's that mean? The light comes. See, until you get, what you have to understand is until you get to this place where you know that you know you're healed and walking in that, when you're not naturally or prosperous or whatever it is you're going for, there's darkness there. And what needs to happen? Light needs to come to you. He says, pay attention to that word, until. So all you have to do for this to happen is what? Pay attention to the word. Yeah. You don't have to try to work up something or, you know, beg for it. All you have to do is do what God said to do. Pay attention to the word. Well, I'm sorry. This is why most people will never get there, because most people will not take the time to pay attention to the Word of God. We pay attention to our TV shows. We pay attention to our recreation. We pay attention to our jobs. We pay attention to everything else that's going on in life. And we give the Word, oh, it's just kind of a little, you know, I'll pay attention to it Sunday morning for 45 minutes. No, he says, pay attention to the word. Pay attention to the word. I like that word. Pay, pay, pay. Cost something. What's it cost? Your time, your attention. But what's it worth? Your freedom. Why? You can't get this without paying attention to it. Look what he says. You do this until the day dawn, until that light shines, and the day star rises in your heart. So what happens is, the only way I can explain it is this way. You pay attention to that word, 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 until all of a sudden there's light. And on the inside, even when your body says something, you know that you know I'm the healed of the Lord. You know that you know I'm the blessed and I am abundance, praise God. I'm victorious. I'm courageous. I'm full of joy. I am peace, praise God. Now, we'll close with this, Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, same thing. Joshua 1:8 is just another version of 2 Peter 1:19, just another version of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the word. It's just another version of Psalms chapter 1, paying attention to the word. The word just all lines up together. Now remember, the only thing that can transform your mind is the word. Receive with meekness, engraft the word. That's what's going to save your mind that's rusty and old and not thinking right. And then it says, okay, what do we have to do to get this? We have to pay attention to it until we come into a knowing. And here it is. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Remember those two words, day and night. And you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then look what it says, the results. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. That's not bondage. That's freedom talk right there. The one walking in prosperity and good success is not walking in bondage. They're walking in freedom. But how did they get there? They took the only thing that can get them there, which is the Word of God, and they meditated on it day and night. Why? Well, that old rusty car that's sitting in someone's field and missing all the parts and the windows are busted out, it's amazing what they turn this into. But they don't turn it into what they turn into by being casual with it. There's time, effort, lots of paying attention, right? People coming home from work, going to their garage and spending the time on it. Why? They want to transform it into something. Well, I want to live healing. I want to live prosperity. I want to live joy and victory and peace all the days of my life. Don't you? Okay. Well, there's a price to pay. Meditate in the Word day and night. Day and night, taking the only thing that can renew your mind, which will then get you into the freedom, day and night. Now again, you've heard me talk about this all the time. But how many times do we hear this? Just go about our day and the Word stays the same in our life. And we still need something. And we think we're going to get it because we know about healing, we know about prosperity, or we say our confessions. But until your mind is so convinced and renewed, that's where the freedom comes from. Amen? Amen? It's really an easy formula. God's made things really simple. Pay attention to my word and watch what will change in your life. Watch your thought process. And I'll say this to finish up here. You need to be specific and skillful. If I have a biology test next week in college and no other tests other than that, I'm not spending all week studying history. I'm not studying physics all week. If I'm struggling with healing, you know what I'm renewing my mind to all the time? Healing. What do you think I was in the most for 2 years? Faith and healing scriptures all the time. Why? Keep my mind renewed because the circumstances were trying to pull me out of that. What do you think during that 2 year period and before that 2 year period of quitting my job and taking the church and launching myself that deep into poverty, what do you think I was meditating on? Not righteousness, not condemnation, not love. I was meditating on what I needed. Why? Because that's what I'm going to build my faith for. If you listen to healing, 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 that's not going to give you faith for finances. Now, it'll bless you because it's the word, don't misunderstand me, and God can use a healing message to talk to you about your money, but I'm talking about the faith you need, the renewal of the mind. Hallelujah. It's just like this, you know, that car, if it's a 1955 Chevy or whatever it is people like, and well, I'm not going to throw Dodge parts on that. Amen. I'm not going to throw parts on that or put something on there that's not needed. No, I'm going to do what's specific to needed to that vehicle. Well, there's things we're struggling with and rusted out and on the side of the road and burnt out and wasted away, and our minds are so off on healing and so off on prosperity. You need to get in those scriptures. Don't go reading through the Bible. People come up to me all the time, and they are struggling in healing, and they're struggling in prosperity, and they're just ignorant. And again, ignorance doesn't help us. And they say, Pastor Mike, I just want you to know, I just started reading through the Bible, and my thought is, why are you doing that? I know it's the Word, and it'll help you. Don't misunderstand me. It will help you. But there are specific things in the Word that God has put over and over again for you to use to work on that part of your life that's struggling or that your mind's not renewed to. Get scriptures on those. Get messages on those. Go through the archives and find messages on those. And get your mind renewed till you get victory in that area, and then go on to the next thing. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if you have any questions, I didn't mean to rush through the service. It seems good on my heart to be done anyways, but if you have any questions about this or, you know, how to get to this place, I'll help you. Amen? You need scriptures on this stuff. So let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful for all you've done, all you've provided for us. Father, we thank you that the renewal of the mind, it's a joy, it's a privilege, it's a blessing. And Father, as we go forth, I pray people will be doers of this word. Until they become one with it, Father, they don't know enough. And until we know enough, we're not free. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. As I scan the room, you know, I don't know of anybody here that's on the outside looking in. What I mean by that, you're not born again walking with Jesus. But if there's someone here watching online right now and or in the future and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, God made it easy. God made it simple. He said, I gave you my son, and whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so if you're watching or if you're here and you need to receive Jesus, it's a simple gift. All you do is call his name. I encourage you to go back and look at the crucifixion story. And there was a person on Jesus' right and a person on Jesus' left. And one of the people didn't believe in him, but then the one who was a criminal, all they did was cry out on him and say, I believe in you. And Jesus said, you are qualified. You're in, praise God. And so if you're here or you're watching, say, I've done too many wrong things. I haven't gone to church enough. No. It's about what you do with your belief in your heart for Jesus. And get alone with him today. Or if you say, I don't understand this, Pastor Mike, give me a phone call. Send me an email. I'll help you with this. But get alone with him today if you understand what I'm talking about. And just cry out to Jesus with a prayer that sounds something like this. Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again for me. I ask you to come into my life. If you'll do that, he'll do his part. Life will change. Things will get better for you. We'll help you out. Let us know you made that commitment. And again, if you need help with that, we'd love to help you. Hallelujah. Just praise him and thank him. Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've done. We thank you for where we're going. Father, we thank you for where we're headed. And Father, I just thank you for everybody that's helped today, that's set up, that's been a blessing. Lord, you see these things. I pray that you bless them. And anyone that bought food, brought food, made food, whatever, Father, pray that you'd bless them as well. And Father, we just pray right now for the food that we're about to eat. We just thank you. It's blessed our body. We thank you. You bless our bread and our water. And you take sickness away from the midst of us, Father. We call it all blessed. We call this time of fellowship blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. You are welcome to head on over to the fireman's grounds. And again, kids, take your shoes off before you go in there. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you right over there. I'm going to get changed and we'll be right over.